To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the ice-covered shores of Lake Ontario in Oswego, New York, underneath a light blue and pink sky of morning, comes to us from Celestial Blue Photography, as Rocco Saya is once again out and about and braving the chilly weather to capture scenes of God's creation. It's Monday again, and the local forecast in my neck of the woods calls for below freezing temperatures for the next few days, which may leave some of us with the desire to just stay inside and not go out there. But as providers for ourselves and our families, we will brave the cold and get out to do the work that provides for our needs and wants. Yesterday, in eastern New York, we awoke to a glazing coating of ice covering everything and sleety rain that made me question whether or not I should go to church or just catch our service online. But as someone who has had an average of a 45-minute commute 5 days a week for the nearly 25 years, I have experience in driving in northeast winters and know what to do. Go slow and be careful. So my wife, stepdaughter, and I headed out and quickly discovered the way we were headed hadn't been properly salted yet, as an oncoming driver warned us that just down the hill from where we were headed, there was a car off the road whose driver was warning them to not come that way as the road was a sheet of ice. I've been reading through Proverbs lately, and that wisdom and my experiences has taught me to heed a warning. So we turned around and went to the main highway to get to church and found the way to be less icy and made it to church in time to catch the last worship song before the pastor's message. The crowd was a little smaller than usual, but I was impressed by the number of people that braved the storm and brought themselves to the in-person service, even though our church provides online viewing of services. This fact demonstrated to me how we as Christians value community and how we wish to honor the Lord by showing up to his corporate gathering, no matter what the weather is like. The pastor reported that the first service had 4 new attendees, and it reminded me of the importance of being faithful and showing up. My wife reported that after our service, she witnessed a child who must have been a new attendee to the 10:30 service tell their parent that they liked this church and wanted to come back again. The church was closed due to the weather. Those 4 new attendees from the first service and this child who delighted over what they had found at our church would have left and may never have come back again. The church was open because that's just what Christians do. They are faithful to worship the Lord and show up to work for his glory. It all reminds me of Charles Spurgeon's testimony of his salvation. Spurgeon got saved because of a snowstorm and the grace of God, of course. As a 15-year-old, Spurgeon grew up in a congregational church but believed he was lost to the fires of hell because of his sinful nature. One winter day, his path to church was diverted by a snowstorm, and seeking shelter from the storm, he ended up attending a Methodist service where the regular pastor had been prevented from attending. An unknown substitute lay preacher stepped into the pulpit and read his text, Isaiah 45:22, that says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Spurgeon's autobiography records his reaction. He had not much to say, thank God, for that compelled him to keep on repeating his text, and there was nothing needed by me, at any rate, except his text. Then, stopping, he pointed to me, to where I was sitting under the gallery, and he said, "That young man there looks very miserable." And he shouted, as I think only a primitive Methodist can, "Look, look, young man, look now." Then I had this vision, not a vision to my eyes, but to my heart. I saw what a Savior Christ was. Now I can never tell you how it was, but I no sooner saw who I was to believe, then I also understood what it was to believe, and I did believe in one moment. Spurgeon walked out of that service and back into the snow a Christian, and he would go on with the Holy Spirit's anointing to win countless souls for Christ and became known as the Prince of Preachers. as the Lord used, and the Lord used a snowstorm and a substitute lay preacher to bring the word of salvation that made it all happen. Spurgeon knew he wasn't right with God, but he hoped for heaven, so he went through the motions of going to his regular church where he was deaf to the gospel. But God knew his fear and used a snowstorm and a church that preached the message of salvation through faith in Christ alone to save him and many others. So brave the storm and keep seeking the Lord. Keep showing up to represent his kingdom and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You never know when the Lord will direct your path in a way you didn't expect, or if he will ask you to step in to serve in someone's place to be used by him to do a work that will bring someone out of the fires of hell and that will give God glory. So bundle up if it's cold out there, and remember that wherever you go, God is with you and wants you to get to know him more and seek his purpose for your life. So keep walking and talking with God, because he can change things from just going through the motions to something wonderful when you least expect it. Today's Bible verse comes to us from the New Living Translation Bible Promise Book for Men. This morning's meditation verse is Romans 8:33 that says, "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself." Today's verse reminds us that God gives us right standing with himself by himself, meaning through grace and the work of Jesus Christ. That means we didn't earn our salvation, and we can't earn our salvation. Our right standing with God only comes through our placing our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is great news, because that means no one can accuse you of not doing it right, or that we have failed to do something to be a Christian. While there will be many things that we can and will do on the path of Christian discipleship that will show ourselves and others that I really am a Christian, those Christian disciplines don't make us a Christian. Our faith in Jesus Christ does. Does that mean I don't have to do anything? Yes, it does. But if you have been forgiven of all your sins and have been granted eternal life in God's kingdom, you shouldn't want to do nothing. If your heart towards the Lord would lead you to just keep on living your life for yourself without pursuing the faith that gave you salvation, you should question who it is you believe in. Do you believe in Jesus, or do you believe in yourself? Christ never asked anyone to believe in him. He called people to follow him. So if we are not following the Lord's call on our lives to know his word and his will for our life, we should wonder if we really are in this thing called Christianity. If you don't produce any fruit, the enemy and the world will accuse you of not being a Christian. Now, if you have put your faith in Christ, those accusations don't change your standing with God. But instead of making you fear your salvation, they should motivate you to follow the Lord so that you can have the assurance of your salvation and find your purpose in his kingdom. Accusations are one of the enemy's weapons to make us unfruitful Christians and to torment us. Our best defense against the accusations of the enemy is to endeavor to represent the kingdom of God by learning what God's word says and by applying it to our lives. The more we walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit and live a Christian disciple's life, the more we will see how the enemy's accusations are meaningless, because we are covered by Christ's atonement on the cross and we are actively following him. So if someone accuses you of not doing it right, or says your sinful ways prove you are not a Christian, tell them that it is only by Christ that you are saved, and that although you may not be perfect, you are a child of God because of your faith in Jesus, and you are in the process of leaving the darkness of this world behind and are following Jesus to be more and more like him. Our walk isn't about perfection, it's about progress, and it's about putting your faith in and following the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue to share from Dr. Neil Anderson's Restored, Experience Life with Jesus. Today we continue sharing from chapter 4, beginning step 3 of the steps to freedom in Christ. And it tells you all about making the list It's all about, step three is all about forgiveness and getting past the bondage of bitterness. And there's a section in there about making the list of people you need to forgive and dealing with yourself and God as the primary steps, parts of step three. So if you want to check that out, go to mtforchrist.org and look at the bottom of our blog post to find that resource. Of course, as I've stated before, the whole book, Restored, is available free of charge at ficm.org. So if you're interested in that resource, you can get the whole thing for free as a PDF copy is available at ficm.org. We encourage Christian discipleship. And we do that by pointing people to the Freedom Christ Ministries, but we also point people to our podcast, where we have recorded three classes of Christian discipleship based on the Word of God and the work of Dr. Neil Anderson, called Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ. So if you want to check out those discipleship classes, go to the podcast and search Freedom in Christ, The Bondage Breaker, or Victory Over the Darkness, and you'll find the lessons. If you want to take a deeper step, just contact me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com, and I can email you the printed materials that we gave out for the classes, and free of charge, of course, via email. Also, we encourage the study of the Word of God, because that's what changes us, and that's what feeds our spirits. So feed deep on the Word of God. But if you wanted to participate in a Bible study of sorts, you could check out our offering on the podcast, which is called Bible Study with Zincotti's. Arthur Zincotti's outlines are very popular, our podcasts are right in the link on the blog. So you can check those out in the podcast by searching for Bible Study with the Zincotti's, or on the blog, mtforchrist.org, searching the same things. We do a topical study each week, and we discuss them. This week it was me, Arthur, Susanna Zincotti, and my dear wife, Tammy Lynn Clark, sat in. I had to catch it, not call her by her maiden name. Just married last week, getting used to it. But I'm very happy. With that said, I think I should stop speaking and just start praying. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Thank you for all that you provided us with, especially the knowledge of Jesus Christ and our salvation. Lord, we pray for you to go before us this day. We pray for everyone listening today. We pray for healing to come into their bodies or to the loved ones they have that need healing. And Lord, we pray for you to grant our petitions that we have made this morning as well. And Lord, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit today to lead us and guide us into our day to see the truth that you want us to see and to walk into the good works that you've prepared for us beforehand. Lord, we pray for the people listening to be blessed with your provision, your prosperity, and your protection as we go about this day to work. Lord, protect us and guide us in the way we should go. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.